Hi, this is Gansbian Chinuch, and this class, as all of the classes on Nala, are dedicated to Li'ilui Nishmat Rachelea Bat Rav Chaim Tzvi. What we're going to be talking about today is teaching your children about the 3 weeks. So as always, we're going to begin by dividing this up into age groups. However, just by way of preface, the 3 weeks of all of the different occasions we've spoken about is the hardest one to get across to kids. Even for us, the whole concept of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash often seems very distant, very far from the reality of what's on sale at Macy's. So be realistic and don't expect your kids to feel what you yourself may not feel. We have to do our best to convey this to our kids, but realize this is the hardest of them, and absolute success is very limited. I know many people who've tried many, many different ways of trying to get this across. I remember one camp, for instance, they had the children make a model based on Mikdash throughout, I think was like almost one whole trip. And, you know, their talents were used, you know, their designing talent, their painting, there was a play, the whole thing. And then Erev Tisha B'Av was destroyed. The kids felt bad, but they didn't feel bad about the Beis HaMikdash. They felt bad about their efforts. It's very hard to get kids to move into the abstract. And tragically, for most of us, the Beis HaMikdash, as we said, is abstract. So with that in mind, let's move. So talking to kids who are younger than 3 about this is a waste of time, so I'm not even going to go there. So kids from 3 to 6, what could they grasp? So they certainly can't grasp more than the words, which they'll probably, if they go to a frum gan, a religious gan, they'll get the words in gan. Beis HaMikdash, destroyed. They may even hear about the Rishaim, okay? But again, what's the Beis HaMikdash to them? I want to share with you something that happened to me recently that made me aware of how hard it is for somebody coming from a place of no knowledge to grasp what this is. I had the most wonderful student who came to Neve recently, a girl with beautiful middos, like an artist-designed middos, but she knows really little. So how she even heard about observant Judaism is a story in itself. But suffice to say that she's from a small town in New Hampshire where there are no Jews. So here she is, literally a rose from the thorns. And she was in the class and somebody just mentioned the words Beis HaMikdash. And she asked, well, where is it? She said, it was destroyed. And the teacher apparently saw this and spoke about this being a national tragedy of almost incomprehensible power. And she asked me at lunch, we had lunch together, she said, I don't understand this. Like, you know, in Boston there's a temple, there are a lot of temples. I mean, what exactly was so special about this temple? You know, my mother goes to Temple Bethel, and it's beautiful. It's like a very large building, very stately. What was this? Okay, this is where we are. So even though we are not there, kids think like this. So even if you show them pictures of the Beis HaMikdash, all they get is, nice building, what's the big deal? So what you try to get across, even at this age, is that Hashem can't be seen. He made you, he made me, but we don't see him. So he wanted to make us feel him. So you have to get this across to kids. Younger children, by the way, will catch this better than older children. So sometimes, you know, if grandma comes, she's not in the room, but you smell her perfume and you may see the gift she brought on the table. And, you know, here's grandma. Or sometimes you feel Shabbos. You come home from Gan and you smell the chicken soup and the challah, even if you didn't go in the kitchen. So, you know, here's Shabbos, and there's the tablecloth on the table. So sometimes you feel something, because what you see and smell and hear and touch makes you remember that. So if you may have to give many, many examples for this. When Abba comes home, you see his hat, you know, here's Abba. Okay, Mommy comes home with the baby, you see the carriage, here's Mommy and the baby. So what you're trying to do is to get your very young child to understand symbolism. And they'll catch it because they're spiritually sensitive, even though intellectually they're little. So you say, Hashem wants us to know that he's there. So he told people how to make a special house. This house, people would feel like Hashem's there. The same way when you see Abba's hat on the table, you know Abba's there. The same way when you see the carriage, you know Mommy and the baby are there. The same way when you smell the chicken soup and the challah, you know Shabbos is coming. So this house was special. It wasn't just a house. You wouldn't know Abba's there if you just came into a house and there's no hat on the table. You wouldn't know Shabbos is coming if you just came into the house and you don't smell challah and you don't smell chicken soup. He made special things happen in this house. These things were nisim. So a nes means something special that happens that we can't do by ourselves, that only Hashem could do. That's usually enough for one conversation with the little kid. So what you've gotten through is that there was a special place called the Beis HaMikdash. Now, for those of you who live in Eretz Yisrael, this is where you would want to take your child on, if you live near enough to make this practical, to the Kotel. And you would want to say, this is where the Beis HaMikdash used to be. It's not here now. This is just a wall of the outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But it still reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash. Just like when you're opening the door and you begin to smell the challah, you didn't come in the house yet, but the door reminds you of it. So this is like the door. It's not the Beis HaMikdash, it's like the door. But even the door is special. Reminds us of Hashem. Okay, if, again, you're in the mood and they're in the mood, don't take them on the tunnel tour at this age. Do not do that. No, 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 no. But you might want to just take them into the area towards the inner Ezrat Nashim that goes through the tunnels and show them the... they have a miniature of Har HaBayit in the Beis HaMikdash. So if they're the kind of kid, which not every kid at this age is going to be able to grasp, that this is bikatan, in small, how the Beis HaMikdash looked bigadol, it's worth showing it to them. If not, don't bother. Okay, all that will happen is that they'll be bored, and it'll disturb the people who are davening, and there's no toilet there. Next time you talk, which could be the day you go to the Kotel, especially if it's a nice day, especially if you could sit back on one of the benches and take out the shoko and the, you know, whatever else you have there that they like. What nisim did Hashem do in the Beis HaMikdash? So choose only one or two of them. Don't recite all 10 of the nisim that were done in the Beis HaMikdash from Pirkei Avos. The ones I would recommend would be fire coming down from Shemayim and consuming the korban, and people being able to bow and still have room. So how would you get across these two? People wanted to show Hashem that they know he gives everything. You know, some people don't know it. You know, you buy something like this shoko. It's from the store. You know it comes from the cow that Hashem made at the beginning, who had more cows and more cows. Not everybody knows it's from Hashem. So people would bring matanot to Hashem from what he gave, say it's from you. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you know what happened? Fire would come down from the sky, and Hashem would say, yes, thank you, I love you, you know me. I know you and you know me. I care about you. I give you everything. And you know me. And they would be so happy, and Hashem would be so happy. And this is called Simchas Olam. The whole world would be happy. Okay, then you could talk to them about how everybody would come. You could show them the Kotel Plaza. Not just here, right? It's big. There are a lot of people here. There's room for a lot of people. But much, much more than that. Now, if your kids ever saw a crowded place, you could say bigger than that, bigger than that. Okay. Now, when people stand up, how much room do they take? So you have to get on the floor for this. This much, right? So let's say you want someone to have a lot of room, this much. But if somebody would be to be mishtachave on the floor, does that take more room or less room? So they'll say more. So here's another nes, a special thing Hashem did. He wanted everyone to come. So they were standing, it was so crowded, hardly anyone had room. But when they would be mishtachaveh, that takes more room, everyone had room. Because Hashem liked us so much and wanted to show us how much He loves when we talk to Him and daven to Him, mishtachaveh to Him. That's enough for a second conversation. Okay, a third conversation. Now these two ideally take place either before the 3 weeks or at the beginning of the 3 weeks. Not a long time before, because we're talking about little kids, but not too close to Tisha B'Av yet. Okay, when you get into talking about the 3 weeks more directly and about Tisha B'Av specifically, you want them to understand the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. But those words have no meaning until they have some appreciation of the Beis HaMikdash, which is what you were trying to get across now. So, next conversation. Want to go to the Beis HaMikdash? So remember, especially if you took them to the Kotel, if you didn't take them, at least show them a picture of the Kotel. They may remember that there's not the Beis HaMikdash, only the Kotel that's like the door, or they may not remember. If they don't remember, remind them. But we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. What happened to the Beis HaMikdash? What happened? Okay. So at that point, you have to say, I'll tell you what happened by telling you a story. Okay, so what's the story? So you're telling them the story, which in the Midrash takes only a few lines, but this is for a young kid, a 20-minute story. The story about how a father had a son who misbehaved terribly, and he sent him to live with other people because it was too hard for him to live in the palace. He didn't know what to do. He didn't behave himself properly. Father would say, "Is my son, did he learn yet? I wish he'd come back to the palace." And the son was living with peasants, and at first he liked it. He liked no rules, and he liked eating with his hands, and he liked, you know, you can go with whatever. But then one day, he remembered, he's a prince. And a man came. The king sent him to look for the prince. And he didn't know where to find him. So he looked at the prince and he said, "Are you the prince?" He said, "I don't know. I've been here a long time. I came from somewhere else. I don't remember." So then the man came a different time and he said, "These are the clothes that belong to a prince. Wear them." He felt special. And then the man came a different time and said, "Come with me. Your father, the king, wants you back." And he takes him on his big horse back to the palace. And the king sees his son wants to be a prince now, wants to be good, and says, "Come to my palace. This is the day I was waiting for." So that's the story you tell. Make it longer than this. I'm not going to spend 20 minutes on it here, but this is a story that should take between 10 and 20 minutes, which means that there has to be food and repetition. And you know. So the idea you want to get across is that the Father always loved the Son and sent the Son away because the Son couldn't live in the palace. Okay, next thing. Hashem had a house, remember? We know He's there. But we didn't know how to act there. We didn't act good. So Hashem said, you have to go away from now. So He sent us away, and He took away the palace, took away the Beis HaMikdash. He had Goyim destroy it. Bad Goyim. Now you can give them, if you like, information, Bavlim, Ramayim, whatever. But the reason that Hashem let them destroy it is because we couldn't live in the palace. So at this point they should say, what did we do that was bad? So the best thing, in my opinion, is to skip everything about Bayit Rishon. Don't try to get across Avodah Zorah, even though it's possible to get Avodah Zorah across to kids. It's possible to get murder across to kids. It's kacha possible to get across Gilei Arayot, promiscuity. Not so possible. But you come down to, they married the wrong people, which is like, you know, but whatever. You could get across Sinas Chinam. But this is a new conversation. She says, I'll tell you tomorrow. So how do you get across Sinas Chinam? So get the kids to play house with you and make it that they're the Ima and Abba and you're the kids. Okay, which they love. I mean, this is a game that little kids like anyway. Even younger than this. Okay, so I just had this at my Shabbos table. My 2.5-year-old grandson, he wanted to, you know, grab at the knife and cut his own food. So my daughter says, no, this is what Ima does. Dovi eats it, Mommy cuts it. So he says, okay, I'm Mommy. He had no problem. So they like this idea. So play with them. And make them realize that the parents don't like it when the children are bad to each other. Okay, so you have to play out what the parents wouldn't let. Do you let me bite my sister? No. Do you let me hit my sister? No. Okay, because parents love their children. They want them to be good to each other. So say, Hashem said, you're fighting all the time. You're bad to each other. You say bad things to each other. You say bad things about each other. You make each other feel bad. And tomorrow I'll tell you a story about the kind of thing they did. So the next story, this is the fifth story, is Kamtza Bar Kamtza, which is a very, I mean, only the first part. You don't have to go into how he went to, you know, how he went and made a mum in the lip. Like, don't go there. Just, that's the kind of thing that happens when people are bad to each other. They don't want somebody in their house, and they embarrass them. They make them feel small. And he wasn't such a good person. But even so, he was a Jew. Okay. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But Hashem is waiting. He wants us to come back. He wants us to be good to each other. Let's think of something good we could do even today to somebody. Maybe somebody we don't like so much even. Okay, that's where you want it to go. The next thing you have to get across, which doesn't have to be a whole other conversation, could be but doesn't have to be, is why the minhagim of mourning have anything to do with this whole story. So you have to go back to your story about the prince who's been expelled and is with the peasants. So you would say, every so often he would remember the palace. He would remember the king and how much he loved him. The people he was with didn't love him. They weren't nice. He'd remember it and he'd feel sad. You have to say, every so often, you have to remember how much Hashem loved us and how good it was in the Beis HaMikdash. And how there was Simchas Olam, and how they would sing, and how everybody liked each other. We feel a little sad because we're not there, we don't have it. And the sadness makes us want it even more, which makes us try to be even better so it could happen soon. And Hashem will say, come back. So this is how you explain all the minhagim of Evel. Not kach v'kach noagim. This is how you explain it. Okay, now the fasting on Tisha B'Av. Kids will not understand, certainly not this age, even somewhat older, what fasting has to do with self-change. So don't go there. I would say, like, skip it. People have to fast. It shows that they're sad. They don't want to just eat and drink. They want to think about, you know, tell them that. But they're not going to get it. So on Tisha B'Av itself, if you have the energy for it, try to keep them busy in the morning when you're not allowed to do much, with possibly talking about the Beis HaMikdash at least a little bit. And maybe if you think that they're ready for it, which varies from child to child, tell them one or two, not lots and lots, stories about how hard it is living with the peasants and how in Golus and how people try to mitgaber anyway and come back to Hashem. Don't tell them Holocaust stories. Don't tell them the terrible Churban Bayis stories. Don't tell them at this age, we're talking about till 5, 6, don't tell them about the death of Rabbi Akiva. It's overwhelming. Tell them a small Mesiras Nefesh story. Tell them a story about how once there was a girl who wanted to keep Torah, but she was living in Rome, and she had to work, and they didn't let her, and how much she cried, and how she kept mitzvahs anyway. Something like that. Okay. Let's move on to the next age group. The next age group is much easier to talk to, and you have to try to get them to be both more practical and deeper in their approach. So we're talking about children from 6 to 10, 11. So at this age, believe it or not, they still need the peasant story. You have to dress it up a little bit more, but they still need the story. So in school, they're going to be immersed with a lot of technical stuff and a lot of historical stuff, which is good. They need to know the technical stuff. They have to know the halachas, and they need to know the historical stuff because indeed this is what happened, and Hashem wants us to learn from it. But they could lose the pnimius very easily. So it's your job at home to give them the pnimius. Don't expect the schools to do it. It's not going to happen. So again, you have to see, it's the 3 weeks. Gosh, it's a hard time. What's so hard about the time? You know, when you think about how things could be and how things are, it feels worse than when you don't think about how things could be. Say, what do you mean? Well, you know, some people lost a lot of money these last years. So you could actually give the name of people who they know if you know someone in this circumstance. Or else you could make up a family. You know, the Cohens lost their house. So they had a big house. You know, they had a basement and a big living room and a dining room and a kitchen. And they had upstairs where there were 4 bedrooms and an attic. And, you know, Mr. Cohen lost his job. And they needed more money. They had to sell the house. And they moved into a little apartment. Like, everybody has room to stand, and everyone has room to eat, and everyone has a bed. But every so often, you know, when they think about how they would like to invite their married children, and there's no room, and how much they enjoyed the garden, there's no garden. And how much they liked having a little space. They feel bad because they know that things could be different. But there's another family. This family came from Ethiopia where they lived in a tent. They think their apartment is heaven. Like running water. That's much better than walking to the well. Much better. And, you know, a whole refrigerator just for storing food. I mean, this is like, that means you have it tomorrow and the next day also. And a closet for food and for dishes so everyone gets their own dish. Like, this is heaven. They don't feel bad about living in the small apartment. Why? Because they never had anything better. In fact, the small apartment is much better than what we had, what they had. So in the 3 weeks, like, we have to think about what we once had. So they don't know what the Beis HaMikdash was either. But you have to tell them again, we had a place where Hashem was close to us and we could feel His love towards us. So at this age, especially with girls, to a lesser degree with boys, try to tell a story about love. Not love between Hashem and us, that's too abstract, but the love of, let's say, a child who got to America before the Holocaust and saved all of their money to get their parents out of Europe, that kind of love. So usually when somebody loves someone else, we see the person who does the loving. But here Hashem has saved us so many times. We've been in exile 80 times. 80 times Jews have been thrown out of their countries. And we're still here and we're still alive and He's continually saving us. He loves us. But we don't feel it because we don't see Him. So in the Beis HaMikdash, He did things that made us see Him, that made us aware of how much He cares for us. Now at this stage, you can go through all 10 Nisim and Pirkei Avos. The story is more for the girls, but the Pirkei Avos could be for the boys and the girls. So again, know your kids. If they're too small for this, they're too small for this. But especially boys like counting them out, you know, and the ninth one was, and the tenth one was, and, you know, making a bit of a production over it is kedai. And with older boys, boys of 10, 11, asking even this question, you know, in Yerushalayim there's Birkat Kohanim every day, but in Muncie it's only in the holidays. You want to know why? And show them in Halacha, show them in Shulchan Aruch, where it says, because there's no Simcha in Chutz La'aretz. They'll say, what do you mean? My cousins from Muncie have a great time. In fact, they have, you know what I mean? You could have opened a Pandora's box. But you say, real simcha is in your heart when you feel like someone loves you. So in Eretz Yisrael, we could feel a little bit more how much Hashem loves us. There's no Beis HaMikdash, so we don't see all of this. We feel it a little bit, you know, so like how? How do you see it? Tell them about Shemitah and how Hashem makes it that things grow. Miraculously, tell them the Komamiyah story, tell them about the Six-Day War. Those of you who live in Eretz Yisrael, there's a delightful film about the war in 1948 and 1967, which you could see if you do a tour of the Churva. Taking them to the Churva in and of itself opens their hearts to miracles. Okay, so tell them about Hashem's providence here. How He brought people from all over the world here, where nobody could have imagined this. How Avos Avoseinu didn't see Eretz Yisrael. But it's not the Beis HaMikdash. And tell them about how we would like it to be there, but there are things we could do ourselves and things that we can't. Okay. Now you move to the morning. Kids this age will find the morning a hassle. Unlike little kids who have much more Kabbalah's all, you know, this is what you do, this is what you do. Older kids sometimes find it like a pain in the neck, like I can't go here, I can't do this, we can't sing. Okay. So with them, you have to talk to them about awareness and remembering what love felt like. So the famous story about, you know, this story has many nusachot, of the child who was was forced into conversion during the Inquisition and couldn't live with her parents. She was forced into a monastery. But her parents gave her a little formula of remembering them, the Shema. Now she passed on to her children and to their children. Till finally somebody brought them back in Tshuva. Again, this is a 25-minute story if you do it right. You have to say, Hashem gave us a little bit of something that we could feel beloved, but we sometimes have to say, you know what we have? It's not what we want. We don't want it like this. We want it better. We want more love between people. We don't want people just being focused on the outside and not the inside. We want caring. We want, and you could actually teach them the word ruchnius. We want ruchnius kesher. We want to look at the other person and see only their goodness, and for them to look at us and see only our goodness. We want to feel Hashem's presence. What we have isn't good enough. So what you can get the kids to do at this age are chesed projects, avas yisroel projects. You could do this. They'll be into it if you do it right. So beforehand, you have to have it in your mind, what are their interests, what do they like, and formulate your chesed or avas yisroel project for them to what they'll like. So for instance, a certain kind of very social little girl will enjoy bringing the apple pie to the old lady because she'll be into the socialization there. Trust me, no 11-year-old boy will like this. Okay, so you have to find the chassadim that fit their nature. So boys are better at delivering things, at possibly stuffing envelopes, anything that has to do with money they like. Girls are usually better at relationship things, trying to understand, you know, and they'll be so happy, the color will be so happy when she gets the beautiful sheets that we're going to buy with the money that came from the Hachmas's Kala party, you know, that sort of thing. You have to get them to do something. If you can get them to do something for one of their friends, adraba, but usually that's too close and they'll get too... it's not easy to pull off. But if you can get them to be kind to a child who needs kindness, that would be the best of all. Now at this age, they also could be told about Bayit Rishon, about Avodah Zarah, Shvichus Damam, Gili Arayos. You could read them some of the narratives in the Navi, the Midrashim. They like all this stuff, especially boys. They like the blood and guts. So it's kedai. They like the Asar HaRuge Malchus at this age. So reading all of the narratives of the Asar HaRuge Malchus, I'd recommend Mayam Loes for that. They like this very much. This is an age where they also could hear how we suffer in Golus, how we were expelled from the palace. We didn't want closeness to Hashem, so he let us go where we wanted, amongst the nations. Talk to our fate amongst the nations. This is where in the back of Mayam Loes, in the Devarim volume, they have Holocaust stories that are suitable. I found them suitable for children. But you could use your own judgment. So these are the stories you want. You could tell a story a night. There are like a million, no, I shouldn't say a million, but there are many Golus stories. For younger children in this group, there's a charming book called, it's something like Little Heroes. It's about cantonists. It's so charmingly written. And you could stretch it out for most of the 3 weeks. It's worth doing. Okay, older children. Okay, so older children, they know what you know in some ways. So they know the Minhagim, they know what it's about. You want to bring them a little bit of the Pnimius still. And you want to get them further into the Chassadim. So with older children, I'm talking about children 11 through their teens. Okay, it's possible with girls to get them to start children Avat Yisrael Chaburot. They just start. That means you tell them that they're in charge, but you have to get the little kids, you have to bring the food, you have to do everything. But you can get them to at least learn the three dinim of Avat Yisrael, which is, again, to speak well of people, give kavod to people, and to be concerned about people. And stories, songs, etc. Okay, this is a good age for going more deeply if they're the intellectual type. Again, different kids are different ways into the symbolism in the Beis HaMikdash. So this requires that you yourself read up on. That means opening a Hirsch Chumash, finding out what the menorah symbolizes, what the Mizbeach symbolizes. Those of you who are real intellectuals will read Malbim. And then you have to translate it all into kid. You have to say, it's not just what it looked like, it's what it was. You've been to Mechon HaMikdash, and it's a good time to bring them if they haven't. But this is only the chitzonius, only the outside of what the vessels were. Here's the inside. This is what we meet. This is what we want. We could build a Beis HaMikdash. And again, you could show them how in the Rambam, it's counted as one of the mitzvot. meaning it's still today a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, but the spirit of the Beis HaMikdash has to come down from above. So you have to tell them about this and make them yearn for it. This is a good time for, again, with older kids, a whole day for those of you who are in Eretz Yisrael, or more than one half day. Could be, like, again, in the summer, Friday is very long, if you could do it on Friday, maybe, whatever. Depending on your ability, to see more of the Old City Walls, the Kotel HaKatan, Ohel Yitzchak, the new shul that's right outside when you go right out of the Kotel area by Shechar Shechem, right near the guard post, there's a shul that they excavated that's from the time of Bayit Sheni, trying to give them a sense of this, that it's real and imminent is what the goal of all of this is. So you could touch it was there, but what's not there? The Shechina's not there, the feeling's not there, the Kirva's not there. Why? Because we're blocked. And the way out is through wanting it. You have to talk to them about being able to say to Hashem, I was waiting for Geula, I wanted. So your goal is to get them to want. At this age, also again, all of the Avos Yisrael stuff is very important and very approachable. You may even be able to get other people involved in it. For other parents, possibly the school, depending on what your standing is in your kids' school, whether they like you or not. But it's good stuff. Okay, so this is how you would handle the 3 weeks. Now, going back a little bit, the fast itself. So in mid-childhood, again, don't have much expectation about their getting much out of the fast. They like little children, don't get the connection between fasting and tshuva, and most of them are not fasting in any case, even though some people have children begin to fast at 11, okay, to get them ready, or at least partially. But with bigger children, you know, like when they're fasting already, you should try to think, what do I want them to do on Tisha B'Av? It's a long day. So what usually happens in many families is the Tisha B'Av happens at night, meaning there is shiurim around, there's Eicha, there's this, there's that. And maybe it still takes place in the morning. But by the time you're in the afternoon, it's just like, how many more hours are there till we could eat? Are you allowed to play chess? Are you allowed to play Monopoly? Are you allowed to... Okay, got the picture? So try to have a plan. If your kids are not good fasters, you can't have a plan. The afternoon is going to be basically in bed. If your kids are good fasters, so you might want to structure it so that your trip to the Old City, that at least one segment of it would take place on Tisha B'Av itself. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, reading David Rusov's extremely good book about Yerushalayim is worth doing. Okay, so you would read it yourself and of course select the parts you think your kids would be attuned to, but that's a very good use of wanting them to make something of the day. Okay, now if you can't, you can't, but you have to put in effort. Okay, now another problem with older kids is obviously Tisha B'Av is the day before, the day after Tisha B'Av, meaning all of their Bein Hazmanim plans and vacation plans are very much in their heads. So try to keep the day busy enough that they're not in the next day while it's still that day. So again, if they're able, if they have the intellectual capacity for it, which not every child does, telling them more about the symbolism of Tisha B'Av, which requires you yourself looking into it a little bit more. And you'll find that those of you who have access to it, okay, intellectual access and structural time, finding out more about Tisha B'Av itself, how it's a day of Hashem's love, how he destroyed the Mikdash out of love of us, how it's the day of return, it's the day of the birth of Mashiach, because wanting to want is what brings about redemption. Okay, speak to the children. Who do you think Mashiach is? What do you think his coming will be like? Okay, is something to get through. Before Tisha B'Av, you might want to read little pieces of Hilchos Melachim if you have the ability and the interest, and they do. about what it'll be like when Mashiach comes and who we would recognize as being Mashiach. So all of this is like possible. So you would have to get this across, the main idea being that Mashiach is a real person, that real people have gotten us out of exile, like Moshe, that things can change in an instant, that we don't have to see it as legendary, and to be want to do something to make it come. So a rule of thumb is, you know, if you knew somebody who said, I want a job, you'd say, all right, you know, did you look for in the want ads? And they say, no. Did you ask people who work in your field? No. Did you try anything at all? No. What would that tell you? It would tell you they don't want a job. So you would have to say, if you want Mashiach to come, what are you doing for it? I would strongly recommend Rav Yoel Schwartz's book about Mashiach's coming. I don't know what it's called in English, but I know that it's translated. He brings all of the Gemaras to talk about which mitzvahs are makariv of the Geula. Not speaking Lashon Hara, being careful on Shabbos, Avas Chinam, all of this. So with older kids, you'll want them to see it. You'll want to talk to them about it. You'll want to say, and what are you doing? Okay, what do you think I could be doing? Especially with teenagers, that's a reasonable question. It creates closeness. So this is what you do in the 3 weeks. Okay, so have a good fast and have a good 3 weeks. And try to get your kids to want to be Makar of the Geulah.